Hey, good morning, good evening, and good afternoon. How you guys doing? It's your guy, Larry, and you just tuned into another awesome episode of Larry's Biblecast. How are you? How have you been? I know it's been a little bit. I know I've kind of been a little bit sporadic here and there, putting out episodes. I have been extremely busy. My schedule, again, just like some of you, some weeks you have some busy weeks. And trust me, I've been through a few busy days. We went through the 4th of July and the holidays and stuff. And so we just had so many things that we were involving ourselves, but never stop from having a good word of prayer and also looking into the word of God. So just wanted to basically encourage you as well to just continue to read God's word as you grow in the Lord. Amen. So speaking of that, we're in day 14 of favor, and we are just slowly, yes, I say that literally, slowly getting through this 21 day devotional, but it has been very good. So I highly encourage you to listen to some of my older episodes about favor, and as we approach this new episode today, and we continue on in the future, stay close to the podcast. I will be getting into some more topics, and also just the life of Jesus Christ. I feel led in my spirit to really jump into that for the future as we continue on through this. How has your summer been? We're in the middle of summer, and the months are rolling by, and before you know it, we'll be back toward the end of the year again. So hopefully you guys are doing well, staying safe, staying prayed up. There's so many things that's going on in our world today. The world, as well as the nation, the United States, needs your prayers. It needs the prayers of the saints. And we have to continue, no matter what the world is doing, no matter how topsy-turvy the world is getting, no matter how many things are happening in our world today, we as the church, as the people of Jesus Christ, we need to stay on guard. We need to stay on post. That means continuing to pray. That means things that you see on the news, things you hear on social media, things that you see in our culture, and all kind of things. We need to stay prayed up. Listen, Jesus Christ is on his way back. We know this. But at the same time, while he is coming, we know of the promise of his coming, let us stay faithful in prayer and reading God's word, and like never before, begin to ask for the Holy Spirit. Remember, the Holy Spirit is the one that we now have in the church of Jesus Christ. And now he is here, and he is within each and every one of us as believers. Ask for more discernment, because of the last days, and the times are getting short, and the days are getting short, and the years are getting short. Things are accelerating, not just in your own life, but also in the life of the world itself. As we begin to see things happen, I've seen a lot of videos that's comparing some things that from Russia and Ukraine, and just certain world events, wars. You know, the Bible talks about that. It talks about wars and rumors of wars. It talks about earthquakes. It talks about all these different things, pestilence that is happening in our world today. The culture itself is just changing to where the things that seem to be unspeakable, and things that was not good and considered evil, now it's becoming the norm. So without getting into details as to seeing to all these things, you and I both know if we have our spiritual eyes on, we can begin to ask the Lord to show us, each and every one of us, how to pray, what to pray for, and who to pray for. We need to pray for our leaders. We need to pray for our leaders in government. We need to pray for leaders in your jobs or wherever you may be. But we need to, like never before, become intercessory prayer warriors and begin to pray like never before. That is our job. We're not just called to become Christians and then become secluded away from the world or out from the world and just be secret Christians. We're not called to be that. We're called to be more prayer warriors. Now, I'm not saying you go out on the street corner and yelling and screaming. I am saying, though, we need to be more discerning. discerning, that we need to be spirit-filled believers and know the times that we're living in. Jesus talked about that. He talks about the signs of the times. So I say that because we have a responsibility. We're not to sit by and sit and just read the Bible and read the newspaper and say the times are coming. We need to be proactive in ways that is spiritual and spirit-led Christians. Amen. So I just wanted to kind of throw that in there. I know that this has nothing to do with the devotion that I'm getting ready to get into, but I just want to kind of give you guys some things to think about and what we need to do. So that may be a direction in which I will be heading on this podcast as well. So I just want to kind of continue to encourage each and every one of you to stay prayerful. Okay. Stay prayerful. Pray to the Lord. Pray and read your Bible each and every day. Amen. All right. Have a wonderful and awesome day, and I look forward to hearing from you speaking to you more as the days go by. All right. And one more thing. Sit back and relax and enjoy this next episode of Larry's Biblecast. All right. So let's get right into the scripture portion of this devotion. This is day 14 of favor. So hopefully you guys are ready to get into God's word and see what it has, what God's word has to share with us today. Favor has so many, I guess, descriptions when it comes to favor. And we see now, reading through this devotional, just how many scriptures and how many examples that are given in the Christian life that will help execute God's favor on your life. I think that this devotional has been a very good devotional, teaching us what it means for the Lord to give favor. It's not so much what you earn, but sometimes it's the position that you hold, and it is also the maturity in your Christian walk. You know, we've learned so much in the past about just different things when it comes to, you know, the Lord showing you favor. How many of you understand and know that even as a child of God, even as a Christian, you just can't just act any old kind of way and expect the Lord to show you favors. Now, I will say this, sometimes he does treat us better than we deserve. And that, to me, is somewhat, you can actually describe it as favor, or you can describe it as, you know, God giving you grace or mercy. But favor, in a lot of ways, is God extending something beyond what his normal would be for your everyday life. You know, as far as grace, you know, we get up every morning and you know, never take that for granted that you can get up and wake up. You know, without the Lord's grace and mercy upon your life and just giving you an extended amount of days to live, you won't be here. You know, you and I won't be here. God will, you know, he can decide, you know, to say, okay, you know what, come on home. And I'm not saying that to, because I know a lot of you out there may have, you know, lost loved ones and things. And some of you might have said that, well, God, you know, took them out of here. And sometimes that might be the case. But then there's sometimes where, you know, the way they live, the lifestyle, maybe their health and things like that, it came to an end, you know, so. There's a lot of different reasons why. So I don't want to just kind of box it in as though God, you know, just ultimately takes you out of here. You know, God permits certain things to happen. And let's be clear too, you know, even while I'm explaining this to some of you out there, you know, God can be mysterious, and his ways are not like our ways. So we cannot fully expect to have a full a full out understanding over every situation that happens in your life, in my life, and other people's lives when it comes to either death, when it comes to favor, when it comes to all these other things. But I will say, as we have been going through this devotional, it does give us some idea on certain things that we encounter when it comes to our life, our growth in the Lord. I really love the fact that this is teaching us to live better and how to be better as Christians, as believers. Remember that it's so important, and I think that this is something that's really important to the Lord himself, is to understand that yes, you know, we are to live as children of God, as a good representative of our Father, our Heavenly Father, God, as well as our King Jesus. Amen. So with that being said, let's get right into next scripture about it. And we're going to start off in the book of Matthew, chapter 18, verse 33. It says, shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? This is just a excerpt or a portion of the entire part of the chapter of Matthew 18. We're not going to read the entire chapter, but what we are going to do is I want to get into Matthew chapter 18, and we're going to go ahead and read this story about Jesus as he was explaining to Peter. As a matter of fact, Peter, in verse 21, that's where we're going to start at Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. And it says here, then Peter came to him and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? Okay, that's a question. And he says, and the next question he asks, should I forgive him seven times? Jesus responds and says, no, not seven times, but 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. In the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. He couldn't pay, so his master ordered that he be sold, along with his wife, his children, and everything he owned, to pay the debt. The man fell down before his master and begged him, please be patient with me, and I will pay it all. Then his master was filled with pity for him, and he released him and forgave his debt. But when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged for a little more time. Be patient with me and I will pay it, he pleaded, but his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested and put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. When some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. They went to the king and told him everything that had happened. Then the king called in the man he had forgiven and said, you evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you? Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. Verse 35 says, that's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. So isn't that interesting how Jesus gave Peter this parable, this example of what it truly means to forgive, but also from the perspective of how God sees it. See, when Jesus gave this example to Peter, remember, the question was, how many times should I forgive my brother? Remember, the brother, whoever was Peter was talking about, had done so much offense. And forgiveness is to forgive and to forgive the debt. So even though Jesus in this parable used an example of say money or debt, so to speak, the same can be said with someone who has done so much wrong towards you. In other words, imagine someone doing something bad to you and you feel like they owe you. Listen, what I'm telling you right now is even something that I've even said. I've even had this situation in my life where someone has done me wrong and I felt like they owed me. And remember, the verbiage that I'm using is they owe me. They owe me an apology. They owe me whatever it was that they had done to me. A lot of us, when someone does us wrong, we feel like there needs to be some kind of repayment, some kind of get back. Like if I want to do to them as they have done to me. And in this case here, where Peter was asking Jesus, how many times should I keep forgiving? He says, as many times as it takes. Basically 70 times seven. He used a number here. He says seven times. And Jesus ups the ante by saying, no, 70 times seven. That means even more. Okay. Let's go to another example in the scriptures here, where he says here, where in the scriptures in Luke, in the book of Luke, chapter 7, it says here, it says, I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven, so she has shown me much love. But a person who is forgiven little shows only a little love. Let's kind of expand this from this one here. When Jesus here is talking, or actually Paul is explaining. No, this is Jesus. Excuse me. I'm sorry. I'm kind of jumping through the scriptures here. So in this one, let's see. Let me go back. Oops. I'm kind of skipping 7:47. Okay. So we were starting in Luke's chapter 7:47. And it says here, let's go to here. He says, then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust off from my feet, but she has washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. Verse 45 says, you didn't greet me with a kiss, but from the time I first came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. 46 says, you neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she has anointed my feet with rare perfume. Now he says, I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love, but a person who is forgiven little shows only a little love. You see, then Jesus said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. See, now, again, this is something in which there was a demonstration of a woman who had done so much in her life wrong, and she felt like, I want to do more so much more because of all the things that I have done. Jesus forgives her. You see how easy that was when Jesus did. Now, I'm not going to say that this lady did something directly to him, but she understood who was in her midst. She understood who walked in that room. She understood that Jesus was the Messiah, but he is also greater than that. He will be the one that would die on the cross for the sins of many, including her. So she understood the magnitude of who it was she was worshiping, who it was she was kneeling down and kissing the feet of, and the perfume and kissing with her tears and wiping her hair with the tears that she shed on his feet. There is such a, you understand, there is such a I would say a gravitas, like a so much she poured in. Forgiveness for some of us is not just for the person that has done us wrong, but it's also for you too. Okay? Yes, it's not so much how this is in this example here, but we're seeing that the power of forgiveness is powerful. Okay? To release someone of what they feel they have to owe you. If someone comes to you and apologizes and says, "I am sorry for everything that I have done," don't hold a grudge. Don't say, "Well, I'm going to forgive you, but I ain't going to never forget what you did to me." You see, because remember, going back to Matthew chapter 18, where Jesus at the end of this parable, in verse 35, if you want to go back and look at it, says, "That's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters," and he says, "from your heart." To me, that's very important when he says "from your heart," because it's not just so much you say, "Well, I forgive you," and you just, that's it. But you truly forgive them. That means that you don't bring it up no more. You don't treat them as though how you felt when they first did you wrong. If they came to you and they were sincere and they asked for forgiveness, and they were sincere. Remember, the key word is they were sincere and they meant it and they turned and never treated you the same way again. Then I can understand that now that responsibility and that obligation comes to you now, to where now you have to say, "You know what? This person is no longer treating me the same way, no longer doing the same things they used to do to me. They turn over a new leaf. They're trying to treat me better. They're trying to do right. They have been doing right. They showed a pattern of change from the time of how they treated you. Now they're doing something totally different." So we should not hold it over that person and keep them in chains, so to speak, or chains, like I say, like bondage, keep them in bondage to the fact that "I'll never forgive you." Some of things that has happened in your life, in my life, have been so bad that you felt like, "I'll never forgive this person for what they've done." Now, I'm not saying that you have to just forgive, and, you know, without them even coming to you or saying anything to you. Now, some of you, though, the Lord is convicting and the Lord is talking to you through the Holy Spirit and telling you right now, you need to forgive and move on. Why? Because sometimes the things that we think about and we keep holding on to from our heart becomes a thing of bitterness. It becomes the thing that takes us so much into our lives that we can't get past it. And then what happens is we go forward into the future, whether it's in a relationship to someone else, whether it's a new job or whatever it was, whatever the pain was. Maybe it was from a church that you came out of and that pastor or someone in that church hurt your feelings so bad. So then you have to move on and you're trying to move on. But every time you feel like there's a subtle hint of what you went through all of a sudden you got your defense up and you're ready to either run or you're ready to shut yourself down. That is the result of where you have not settled it from your heart, from what has happened to you in your past. If you get into another relationship, same thing. If whatever happened to you in that former relationship, and whether it's that marriage or whatever it was you was in, and then you try to get back into another relationship, guess what? That person that you're now with may either have the similar symptoms, or maybe something that he or she might say or do may remind you of what you came from. And then all of a sudden, it's almost like a trigger. Some of you can relate to this. It's a trigger. Maybe you have went through a traumatic experience, a trauma. And soon as that happens, then you'll go right back into that defense or that seclusion that you used to have when you was in that other relationship. Remember, forgiveness is almost like forgiving and moving forward. And the same thing it is with a person that maybe has hurt you, or a situation that has hurt you, and you have decided to move forward and put yourself in a different environment, different space, different place, whatever it may be. I'm using all these examples because so many of you out there have either experienced someone that has hurt you, something, some place that you were at that hurt you, maybe a former church, maybe a former job, maybe it could have been a former relationship, like I've been saying. It could have been something, but whatever it is that has happened in your life, God wants you to learn how to forgive and to move forward into your future. Remember, you can't go to your future reminding yourself of what has happened to you. Every time you try to move forward and go into another relationship, go into another job, go into another church or whatever it may be, and I'm using those examples because a lot of times this is what happens to a lot of people. Is you can't move forward because you keep reminding or something in that situation, in the current situation, reminds you of something that happened in your past situations, and that's keeps holding you back. This is an example of not only forgiveness, but also forgiving others. Now, we're going to take a quick little break. But I want you to think on this, and we have one more scripture, and we have a devotional that we're going to read that ties in with this. I want you to hold on there, and we're going to be right back as we go into the next portion. Thank you again for tuning in, too. All right, so welcome back. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to read the last portion of our scripture segment here on the devotional. And we'll go ahead and talk and end it with the devotional portion of this. So open your Bibles to Mark 12, chapter 12, verse 31. And it's a simple verse. Most of you probably are familiar with this passage. It says simply of this. It says, the second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. So what I normally like to do. And I know this is just one portion of this scripture. But let's kind of expand on this a little bit to see exactly what the conversation was like before he gets into this, that scripture that I just read, the verse of scripture that I just read. So it's entitled the Most Important Commandment. One of the teachers of religious law was standing there listening to the debate. He realized that Jesus had answered well, so he asked, of all the commandments, which is the most important? Jesus replied, the most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel, The Lord our God is the one and only Lord. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Then verse 31, which is what we've read already, says the second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. Verse 32 says, the teacher of religious law replied, well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth by saying that there is only one God and no other. And I know it is important to love him with all my heart and all my understanding and all my strength, and to love my neighbor as myself. This is more important than to offer all the burnt offerings and sacrifices required in the law. Realizing how much the man understood, Jesus said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And after that, no one dared to ask him any more questions. So this is pretty interesting, right? This is an interesting, I would say an interesting answer from Jesus. It was a good answer, like it talks about. Jesus answered really good. Now, of course, Jesus is the Word of God. Remember, Jesus not only is the Messiah, but he's also actually the Word of God. Of course, whenever he speaks the Word. He speaks exactly what God would have him to speak anyway, because he himself is the Word of God as well. Okay. And we'll get into that some, you know, in future episodes that I'm going to be talking about when it comes to Jesus Christ. So real quickly here, we're seeing a situation where this teacher of religious law was asking this question. So normally it's funny because Jesus normally he does answer questions, but he answers with a question toward them. Okay. And so what I like about this is not only does Jesus answer the question about the most important commandment, but he also includes the second, which is equally important. Now he says equally important. If you notice, isn't that amazing that love your neighbor as yourself is just as important as you loving the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. Isn't that interesting? It's right up there. It is, matter of fact, it's equally. It's not behind it. It's side by side. So it's very important that he not only that he answers the question with the first and most important command, but he includes the second one as well. He includes this as well. I mean, this other commandment as being just as important. And in light of this entire devotion that we're reading here about favor and also about how to treat one another, it's very important that we with the close of this, we understand exactly how important and how high on the priority list is it that in God's eyes, how we treat one another, how you treat your fellow man, how forgiveness plays a big part. And also with the title of favor, understanding that God places a high priority on forgiveness, and also favor is also something that will be a blessing to you if you forgive, like he says, from the heart, not just saying it with the words, but also with the actions. Now, again, I can go into all the different situations that you and I may have when it comes to people doing things to us, but as Christians, we start to begin to learn that certain things are not about us. And the Lord begins to work on each and every one of our hearts to look outwardly and not so much inwardly. When we focus so much on what was done to us and we stay there, we begin to just like internalize for years even what was done to us. You know, sometimes we fester in it. We kind of marinate in it. We just begin to just keep thinking about it, about what was done to us. And that is never good. In other words, it becomes a bitter cancer within your personality, within your character, the way you deal with one another, the way you deal with people that will be in your future, whether it be in a relationship, whether it be another place of worship, a place of employment, or whatever was done to you in your past. So it's so important for us to be able to learn how to forgive like Christ is. Remember this. When Christ was on the cross and he was abandoned by his own disciples, he was crucified, he was betrayed, okay? He was done in by some of the most religious people of that time. He was put on the cross and he was, tortured, whipped, and all kind of things, right? But before he died, before he breathed his last breath, he asked God to do what? And he says to the Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, that's, some of us can say, well, that was Jesus Christ. But understand, Christ was fully God. I mean, he was fully man in the flesh. So he wanted to fulfill God's requirement for all mankind. So if that meant submitting himself, surrendering himself even to the pain and the torture and everything else in order to fulfill what was the will of God. Think about you and I. Think about our journey as far as Christians and maturity. Now, even as I speak of that, I'm thinking within myself, man, like how much better I can be, how much more that I can mature and be more like Christ in my own life and be more of an example to those around me. That should be your desire today. It should be your desire today and for the future as you grow in the Lord. Remember, we live in a world that's so imperfect. People will always have something bad to say, do something wrong to you, maybe have things done to you, okay? And I understand there is some horrific examples that I'm sure some of you out there have endured. And remember, Peter even asked a question that I think some of us would actually relate to. And that is, how many times should I forgive my brother? 7 times? But Jesus, remember, his reaction, his answer back to Peter was 70 times 7. That means fully, okay? Full 70, like completion, okay? When we stand before God, when you stand before the Lord, in light of Jesus Christ, of what he said and what he did on the cross for you and for me, God will say, since you stand in the blood of Jesus Christ, all is forgiven. There is no holding any grudges or any memory of what you and I have actually done. Amen. You are totally forgiven. So as we get older and eventually leave this earth, hold nothing against anyone. Hold nothing, no bitterness, no record of wrong of things that you go away thinking about what this person or people have done to you. Learn to forgive and learn to open your heart and to be more like Christ. That's my prayer for not only myself, but for you as well. Amen. Listen, let's read this last little portion here of the devotion. It says, favor isn't fair. While we all receive a measure of God's favor as his children, the quantities we are endowed are not the same. As much as we can position ourselves to receive a supernatural outpouring of God's goodness in our lives, there is no guaranteed formula. It can become easy to sit in a seat of judgment and question why God's favor seems to be evident in one situation and absent in another. It is equally dangerous to be a recipient of favor by grace, yet not extend mercy to those around us. While favor can sometimes be unexplainable, our actions are not excusable. How we treat others matters. We are called to love because God is love, because God loved us first, and because love covers a multitude of sins. Regardless of how much favor we have received or someone else has received, let's extend to others as much love, grace, and forgiveness as we've been given, and even more. Again, this is worth repeating, but make sure that we extend grace to others. Make sure that whatever was done wrong, at some point, in some point in your life, turn to that person and forgive and to release that. Release that from yourself, and also let them know, because you never know what kind of witness you will be to them. Even as a Christian, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, as a child of God, we are the first to set that example, just as Jesus has forgiven us by dying on that cross, shedding his blood, right? God giving us his only begotten son. How much more should we continue to forgive others that have done wrong to us? Amen. So I hope this message or this devotion kind of gives you something to think about, give you something to go forward in and possibly pray about. Listen, while we have a quick word of prayer, and then we'll step on out. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for an awesome and wonderful day. I pray for my listeners, those that are listening to this podcast, this episode. Lord, before we even want to ask for favor, let's ask, help us to be more like you. Help us to be forgivable, forgiving people, extending grace to others, though we have been done wrong. But Lord, give us the power and the ability to not look at the fault that has been done to us, but how can we begin to pour out more grace and more love toward others so that others may see the love of God radiating and coming from us. Maybe that's how we are to change the world. Father God, we just thank you so much for blessing us. And those right now that's in the sound of my voice that have not received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I want to give them an opportunity to make that decision today. Make that decision today is simply asking Christ to come into our heart, into their heart, to live according to you, reading their Bible, praying to you, and talking to you each and every day, and repenting of the things that we have done wrong, turning from our wicked ways, our sinful ways, turning from the life that we used to live to a life that is more pleasing to you. Father God, I thank you so much for each and every one that is listening, and I pray that someone has received the Lord Jesus Christ in their heart today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you again for sharing your time with me. Thank you for just taking the time out of your day or whenever just to kind of listen a little bit to this podcast. I'll be continuing these episodes on favor. We're almost done with this devotional, and we'll be moving on into some other things. We're talking more about maybe the story of Jesus Christ or other different topics and subjects in the Bible. But for now, I thank you for just sharing your time with me, and I'll be talking to you soon. God bless you. God bless you and your family. I'll see you soon.